Father, we come to you again this day, and we thank you for this time. We're so grateful, Lord, for the Word of God that we have before us. Now we thank you for the good singing this morning. Thank you, Lord, for all that which has blessed our heart to be in the house of God. I'm amazed, Lord, that I'm feel down a little bit. It's been a busy week. I'm amazed to be down a little bit and come and hear good singing, good music, and hear the Word of God taught, proclaimed. The Lord, in that environment, the Holy Spirit bless. It's refreshing. Comes from the throne of God. Now, Lord, we're here to worship you, but we're here to learn. So much going on around us that in the flesh we don't understand. We're not getting the answers from the secular world. Dear Lord, we know you have the answer for everything, though. When we open the pages of this book, we come to you asking the Holy Spirit to help us understand what the Holy Spirit has written. Realizing, dear Father, that everything that you would have, that everything about you, the world couldn't contain the books, but the book you gave us is just exactly what we need till you get us home. Help us this day. Honor yourself as we honor the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Please take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want to read verses 12 through 14 and then 17 through 21. Then I'll give you the topic of the message this morning. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. By one man sin entered into the world. We know that's who? Adam. He tells us as he rehearsed the fact, the wage of sin is death, in Romans 6:23, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the wage of sin is death. Since all sin, all die. Since all die, all must sin. You see how that works both ways? There's no doubt about it. When God calls us sinners, we're sinners because we're going to die. And he said, wherefore, as but one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23, all sin comes short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. So he tells us that we die because of one man's sin. Now, it's very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes we think we die because of our sins. Sins are the product of the sin nature that brought the curse of death. And that's what God is explaining through Paul. You didn't understand this in the Old Testament. You didn't understand this in the Gospels. But now God has given the Spirit of God. He sent the Apostle Paul to preach to Gentiles. And Gentiles are now made up the church. And Jew and Gentile make up the church. And now he's given a step further for us to understand this thing about death. The world looks at it and don't understand it. The only thing they can come up with is time and death. Carl Sagan, one of the liberals of the past, said this is all it is, time and death. You come into time, you're going to die. They can't tell you why, but they say when you come to time, time brings death. Well, I've got news for you. When you come into time, time doesn't bring death. Sin brings death. And that's what God is telling the church at Rome and for all others who would listen. And what a blessed thing. This helps me understand. You say, but wait a minute. We die because of our sins in the plural. Then you tell me why little babies die. They don't sin. They don't know what sin is. So it's got to be something here for God for us to understand that when sin entered this world as a curse, the nature is passed on to all. The sins in the plural are the products of the nature where the curse is on. And he's telling us right here. As one man, again, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Verse 13 says, for unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. That is, there was death before. You can go back and look from right up from Adam's day to Moses' day. In fact, verse 14, he tells us that. He said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. In other words, from Adam to Moses, men die, and nowhere can you find they died because of their sins in the plural. They died because they had the sin nature which produced sins. And the curse is on the sin nature, so all die who are born physically until Jesus reverses that. And even you and I who are born into the family of God will go through death as far as this body is concerned, but we'll just been moving on to better places. Now look over, if we will, verse 17 through 21. Paul goes a little further. He said, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. In other words, because of Adam, death comes to us all. Much more, I like this, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Hey, if God in His providence said when Adam sinned, it threw his race from their own under sin, condemnation, and death. Then He says when Jesus came, He can also give you life. I'm glad of that this morning. Praise God. I know this body's going back to the dust, but there's a real me, real you who are in there. And this is life of this flesh that's been made anew if you've been born again. And it's traveling on. It's going to fly away one day. I mean, it's going to be in a glorified body. And if that happens, you're going to be absent for the body to be present with the Lord. So I'm glad if one man can bring the curse, one man can remove the curse. And Jesus Christ is His name. And I go on, and boy, these are power-packed verses. Therefore, He said, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteous of one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, I don't see how in the world anybody could get by verses like this, because they're not read that much. As one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one man, or one, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded or increased, grace did much more abound or increase. You see, God's law was inserted to manifest to manifest the sins that are a product of the fallen nature. Until God gave the law, no one could really tell. It's all in their heart and mind, and people set rules, I'm sure. But until God gave the written law, no one really knew the heart of God, what was right and what was wrong. But they still died. And that's what Paul was saying. But now man has no excuse, because there was a time he called out a man, made a nation, gave him a law, what God said to be right and wrong, which showed that if a man did not keep the law, it became a curse. And therefore, he would die and be judged by that law for the sins that he committed. But he died because of the nature. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If it were not for the nature, when you and I got saved, we would never die again. But yet you know for a fact the physical body is going to die. But the glorified new creation in Christ Jesus lives forever. He said that as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to speak a few minutes on the effect of sin. The effect of sin. I read back this book. Do two things. I like what a little boy said one time. He's quoting John 8, verse 32. I don't know how old he was. Maybe, 5, 6, 7, 8 year old, somewhere along there. He was quoting John 8, 32. And the verse goes like this. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so he stood up and he quoted it, and he got a little bit mixed up at the end. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you mad. And I'll tell you this, if you don't obey, it doesn't make you mad. The flesh will rebel against it. Because we don't like truth unless we agree with it. And most of the time, if we don't agree with it, we don't like it at all. One person said, I don't like to repeat gossip, but what else can you do when you get it? Really, I don't know. Probably that's the only thing you can do. We like to hedge things once in a while. And lying is lying. Amen? Would you say that? Lying is lying. I had one fellow went into the golf house one day. He'd been at a club house, and he'd been golfing. He walked in, and he said this. He said, well, I'll tell you what. I just missed a hole in one in the 14th hole. And the ears flicker up, and one fellow said, sir, that's impossible. That's a full par hole. He said, there's no one ever made a hole in one on the fourth hole. And as he's talking to him about it, he said, how far did you miss it? He said, with four strokes. You have to be a golfer to understand that, I guess. I had to go back and read it again because I'm not a golfer. But if I understand that, he didn't lie. But he did lie. Amen? So how can you do that? I'm going to tell it again, but I'll tell you, that's the way it is. I want to talk to you a little bit about the effect of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, before time and space, which God brought us into as we experience, there was a powerful, eternal God who is love and merciful and gracious. A God who knows everything, who's all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and much more that He can't explain Himself about, I'm sure. He made everything exceedingly good. If you go to the book of Genesis, you'll find after He did a creation of anything, He talked about it was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. Then you get to Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and you find it says that God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. I like that. God says, Holy Spirit said it was good when He made the things you see around us, the sun, the moon, the earth, the planets, everything you see, it was good. Then when God got through and He looked back, He said, I want to tell you something. I did a great job. It is exceedingly good. I believe that. I believe that. What I'm telling you, we go back and look what God did. Don't seem like there's no sin around that time. A world of imperfection. A world functioning in complete absolute harmony. Animals were not even eaten in the beginning of that time. Humans and animals ate plants. Everything was vegetarian. As a matter of fact, only living creatures, man and animals, are nephesh. And when you think of that, physical death is different with animals and man than it is with plants when they die. We think, well, man alive, how can that be? Well, one thing for sure, plants do not have brains. And you have to have a brain to register pain. You say, not mine. Mine's got a brain. No, your plant don't have a brain. It cannot decide what's going to be done. Only the animals that God made have brains. And, of course, man is the creation in the image of God, higher than any other creature made on this particular earth. And so you have to have a brain. Listen, if your brain is not operating, you won't register pain. So animals feel pain. Feel pain. Barbara and I was headed to a funeral yesterday afternoon, and I run over Bambi. It broke my heart. A little old teeny baby deer run out in front of us. Spots on him. He hadn't been born too long, I'm sure. And I told Barbara, it's Bambi. He won't live no more. Killed him. I felt bad. I couldn't stop, though. I was already late. And I did stop to see if he'd messed the car up in it. Didn't mess it up much. He's a little teeny thing. But I was late. I wanted to go back and drag him out of the road. But what happened, we got a little bit behind. And I had to go to be there at a funeral a certain time. And anyhow, don't look for Bambi anymore. Bambi's there. But it felt bad. But I tell you, that little fellow was, I could see him in the mirror. He was in pain. He was in pain. What am I saying? He had a brain. He felt pain. Only living creatures and man are nephesh. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 through 30. Plants were allowed to be eaten by God from the very start. But when you get to Genesis 9, verse 3, after the flood, animals were included in the diet of man and animals, for they may prey on each other. We decorate our homes with dry and dead plants at times. There's been many a person been in the woods and said, well, I like this. It's died. A limb has died or some bush has died. You get a piece, take it home, put it on the mantle. See, isn't that pretty? Especially around Christmas time and so forth. But I thought, ladies and gentlemen, listen, we don't decorate our homes with dead animals. Amen. You're not walking out one day and find a skunk and say, honey, there's a skunk. Let's take him home and put him on the mantle for a few days. You don't decorate dead animals in your home, but you do dead plants, sometimes dead trees, dead limbs, and so forth. You know, out somewhere or another, a picnic, when you have a picnic. We have picnics under dead trees at times. We have them on, we've had picnics sometimes in the past, be a old dead stump, or a tree cut down, and make a table out of it, and picnic around that. We understand that. That tree didn't have a brain. It didn't feel no pain. But animals do. And so we understand the relation between the two. We'd make a stump, a picnic area out of it, a picnic table. But you're not going to say, let's go have a picnic and be walking out somewhere or another, and it's possible you'd find a dead deer somewhere and say, look, there's a dead deer. Let's spread our lunch over it. You see, we know the difference. And when it comes to life as nephesh and what it is when it comes to plant life and animals and things like that. You will not eat around another dead animal. As a matter of fact, most times they've been dead a little while, you've got to have a mask put on. will get out of the midst of it pretty quick. What I'm saying, many people do not view this world from a Bible perspective. So they don't understand what's going on. You and I should understand why we die. You and I should understand what God has done. We should understand a lot about God the world doesn't know. That'll help us love the world some like Christ does, because they don't understand what's going on. But we are to understand. And again, some people view this world based on Scripture from a big picture, but can't see it precisely individually. I mean, they can look at it. Creation, boy, how it was God created, and enjoy that. They look at it through history and prophecy. They look at it sometimes through the end of the age. Why, we're at the last days, big broadness. But it seems like they can never see the specific of life in the now, how it affects them, what they ought to be doing. We get caught up in the big topic and miss out the blessings of the individual life before a holy God. Many times reality does not meet our expectation. And here Satan frustrates us and deceives us. And many times he calls us to leave the Word of God and not even read it, let alone study it. I believe that God wants us to study this book, and He'll persuade our mind about many things. Even those things that are questionable, He'll give you a satisfactory answer because you studied it. You didn't read behind someone and it became your philosophy or doctrine. You studied it out with hours of studying and traced it through. And you said, God, this is something I can see. It don't matter in some cases, because there's a lot of things we can agree to disagree on. But I'll tell you, there are some things that He'll say must be known and done. Then there's some things just good to know. And it's interesting studying the Scriptures. Some go too far and see only God as a great grandfather that jumps out of every knee when we quote a verse of Scripture of some kind and attach Jesus' name on that end of something we want. The true biblical big picture is needed to be seen, so we can know what our great God is doing. Oh, a few weeks ago, we went through a series of messages on Sunday night on the God in creation. And we went and looked at beyond this life into a DVR of the planets and so forth. How great this God is. I want to know as much as I can know about Him. I want God to reveal Himself to me. I'm not concerned about what others have written, though I've probably got the biggest library anybody in this church. But my library is there to assist only for broadening knowledge. My Bible is there to know the voice of God. There's a difference. And you won't learn the voice of God without spending hours in it. Well, preacher, if I didn't have enough to pastor church and preach 3 times a week, I could have time to study. Hey, most of my study is done when you're rested. I do a lot of studying here when I have a chance. Every minute I'm not doing something, I'm studying. But I'll tell you, if I didn't do any more studying what I had to do here at church, I wouldn't have a lot of time to do as much as I do. It's done at home and other places. Or reading. I have places, Barbara, tell you, places there where I'm at, books are at. When I'm at a certain place, I'm reading a certain thing. When I'm at another place, I'm reading a certain thing. I have them stored everywhere. We have a lot of arguments about that. But I have to. God, I want to know more about Him. My mind, He's so great, my mind. My little peanut mind can only get me so much. If I live to be 85 years old, I still won't give it a little bit, because He's so much greater than that. And I want Him to reveal Himself to me. Please don't let anything, God, get in the way that keep you from revealing yourself to me. We need to take a look at our commitment to God as individuals. What difficult times, when they come to us, we do not need to be confused over realities in life. Here God helps us understand the biblical origin of death as we look in chapter 5. Here God in 5:12 shows us the origin of death and suffering, or better, suffering and death. Here God helps us cut through religions and world heresy that has infiltrated the church today. The church is busy about many things to uplift and edify people in the sense of the flesh. Nothing wrong being edified in the spirit. But ladies and gentlemen, it's missing the fact that Jesus said, what should a man profit if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? What should a man give in exchange of his soul in Mark chapter 8 in verse 36 and 37? You don't hear much of that in a lot of places today. Why? Because this world who is so educated won't come back if you begin to talk about they're lost and need to be saved and headed to hell. They've already been convinced by someone who is a liberal, don't even believe in a hell. So why should he come and listen to a fundamental Bible believer who says it's a hell when they're already convinced by someone else that's not a hell, and they won't let God or no one else convince them otherwise? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Let me say that again. Amen. Thank you. What I'm saying to you is that the effect of sin has brought some change. Yes, God can heal. But that does not mean that God will heal every time. But I'll tell you this. If you're praying for something in this physical body and God doesn't heal it, and He takes you home, you've got the greatest miracle that ever happened other than being saved. Therefore, the child of God is a deposit from here to another place. And thank God for that. And the greatest miracle than Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ coming in this world to save our soul. Let me give you three quick points about the effect of sin. Three things. I'm talking about the effect. I'm not talking about the sins that we commit. I'm talking about the effect of the sin in this life. Number one is this. How do we get where we are today? How do we get where we are? I'm not talking about 6,000 years ago in Adam's day, but to where we are today. How do you explain suffering and death in a world where the all powerful, loving, and merciful, just God lives? Go back in Genesis chapter 2 for a minute, and you see in verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, notice that, the man. Now hear me, ladies and gentlemen, Eve's not even been made yet. Adam's not been put to sleep and took a rib made yet when God gave Adam this information. And he said, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou, Adam, he's talking to, shall not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, how do you explain suffering and death in a world where a powerful, loving, just, merciful God exists? You can explain it for this thing. God's command was clear to Adam. Had no problem understanding. God set Adam up, and I believe he had his attention, and he said, Adam, everything in this garden you can have. But that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you leave alone. That's good Johnson County terminology. It's clear. God wrote it in the sand, as we'd say. Literally that. The line was drawn by God. Hey, there is no alternative, but Adam, obey what God said do. Now, you know how the story goes. A little later, God put him to sleep, made him a woman. Call her Eve, mother of all living. Now, when you get down to the next chapter, you'll find that Adam had told Eve. You don't find where God went to Eve and told her. But Adam had told Eve. How do I know? Because when the serpent came to her, she told him and added a little bit to him what God had told her husband. I don't have time to read that this morning. Adam and Eve's choice altered the history of humanity. Now, throughout Scripture, the Bible points to the fallen man. And we see in Romans chapter 12, 5, verse 12, as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So he says, because of that, so death passed upon all men, for all men have sinned. In chapter 1, in verse 23 of the book of Romans, you'll find in that particular verse, he talks about man who has abandoned God. And he says in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And what do they do as a fool? They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 56, Paul said, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. This troubled world is affected by sin. S-I-N. The nature that we all have when we're born in this world. And the fact that we have that nature, give it time and it will produce S-I-N-S. Which in the book, Great White Throne Judgment, said there's books there for those who have never been saved. And the blood has not washed away their sin. There's books there that will be an account of their lives, which they will be judged by and be cast into the lake of fire. But praise be unto God, the second Adam that came took away our sins. There is no books in the plural there. There's the Lamb of God, which produces the book of life. Amen. And our names have been written in there. By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or because of that, you say. This is the answer to this world's question about suffering and death. Secular humanists view this world directly by time and death. I told you about Carl Sagan as one that used to say that. And yet you see in Romans 8 and verse 22, he tells us that we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So I want to say something. Please don't understand this. Instead of us saying, look at what sin has done to this world, man says this. You let me know if you think I'm wrong. Instead of man looking and saying, look at what sin has done to this world, man says when suffering and things come, why does God allow that? Why did God didn't stop that? Why did God do that? And ladies and gentlemen, we don't be saying, look at what sin has done to this world. God is a merciful God. Since Adam fell, we have been given a death sentence from conception. And fallen humanity is inclined to deny it and shift the blame to someone else or to something else without realizing God's word still so. Man is accountable to it. So after seeing how we got here, number two, today is not what it was in the beginning. God didn't create disease. God didn't create suffering and death in the beginning. As a matter of fact, these things are not good. And you go to the book of Genesis, you find everything He made was good. And He even looked back, as I said before, and said it's very good. They came because of sin, leading to death. And God gives us a chance after chance after chance in the age of grace, especially in our country, to get a change made. Jesus came and made a change. His benefits, it's potential to the whole world, but only benefits those who believe God at His word. We as human beings are looking back at a perfect creation through fallen eyes. Here, theories and assumptions from certain fields of science create a framework of thinking that bypasses Scripture. And ladies and gentlemen, anytime anyone, I don't care how educated they are, bypasses Scripture, we're headed for problems. And that's one of the reasons why we in this country are headed for such problems, because they're bypassing Scriptures. And the God we're talking about, even verbally, is not the God of this Bible. And this God of this Bible will be standing when all the rest of them are gone. God help us to see today and compare it to years ago. Those who question sin also questions creation. Those who question sin question the virgin birth, questions the resurrection. One person said, no scientist had ever seen anyone raised from the dead. Preacher, have you ever seen anyone raised from the dead? Physically, no. I've never been in an atmosphere where somebody was dead and they pronounced them dead and I saw someone raised from the dead. But I know someone who did. You say, but preacher, you can't prove that. I'm proving enough of my heart. If you let God, He'll prove enough of your heart. He'll prove to you the fact that He's the author and the finisher of our faith, just like He said He was. He'll strengthen our faith at that time. In the moment of sorrow and death, one gets distracted from the noise of this world. And we face the reality of what the Bible says is true. God has given us a chance. Every time we hear something that took place somewhere or another, and someone dies or tragically, it's a chance that God has reminded us these things do happen. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready. But what happens is this. Even if we're faced with something along life pathway that gets our attention about death, we have so much today that assists us to help us get through things until the doctor says, I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do. But what happens is, though, these things that should shake us up and say, hey, that could happen to me. That could have been me. That's a possibility. Hey, I was right through there just a few hours ago. That could have happened to me. It ought to be saying to our hearts, hey, God is saying, that's right. Death is real. Everyone's going to die physically because of the sin nature. There's a curse on it, and only Jesus Christ can remove the curse. And when He removes the curse to keep you out of hell and the lake of fire, you're still going to body go back to the dust. But you're going to go live with Him forever. And so here we see that today is not what it was in the very beginning. When we go through something in life, our attention is God. And sometimes we start saying, God, I want your help. But we have so much in science that helps us, in technology and medicine. Then afterwards, we get better. And God gives us another chance. And we quickly forget as we re-enter our regular lifestyle of living. So easy to be close and say, yeah, I need to look at this and look for some answers. And then suddenly, you're better. And we go right back into the regular lifestyle. And so we live in an age today that Satan has used our modern technology more so to see people than ever before. Because I'll tell you this, I'm like you. Thank God for the medicine of our day. And when I get sick, I expect to get well. I know, I just expect to get well. And I'm not talking about just the fact that I believe God. I just thank God for where I am today. But I've found out something. Medicine cannot deliver you every time. Science and technology cannot deliver you every time. And God can, if He desires, and it's within His will. But sometimes God says, no, that's enough. That's enough. Death is the ultimate sickness that we all have to face due to sin. We cannot forget death. We can't forget it. But wouldn't it be nice if you could? You can't forget it. We'll be faced with it until Jesus takes us home or we leave the exit through this life, exit of death. Sickness was abnormal before Adam's fall. It's hard to believe. He never had a cold. I don't know how many years he might have lived before God, before he sinned, but I'll tell you this. He never had a cold, never had sickness. He never had, couldn't sleep. You can't even imagine what kind of life it must have been before sin. Today, though, sickness is normal due to the fall. Everyone in here has been sick. You may be sick, or you will get sick. You know why? Because of the sin nature. God promises to comfort us and strengthen us in this time of situation, in these situations of life. And the consequence of sin dictates our destiny towards death. But in Christ, the final resting place is with God. Death is a destiny that we all have to face. But the final resting place is in God. And in Him, it's safe. Outside of Him, it's not safe. So I say again, knowing that today is not where man was in the beginning, it came at the fall of Adam and Eve. The third thing quickly, truthful answers can only come from the source of truth. And I've got news for you. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's the truth that should set you free. Original sin brought the curse of death. 1 Corinthians 15:26 calls it our enemy. It's our last enemy in that day when we draw our last breath. The original sin brought the curse of death. This affects everyone. Specific sins, God will judge us for them. But specific sins are done by us due to the original sin of Adam. And death is on the fallen sin nature. It used to bother me sometimes. Why would a little innocent baby die when he had never done anything? You say, well, he kicked mother before he was born. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know what he was doing. Well, when he was being born, he just wasn't released and come out. He didn't know what he was doing. Until he gets of age, accountability, they don't know what they're doing. They're in a state of innocence. Then why do they die? Why have I had to stay with some of you by the little child born, still dead, birth, or a few days later, have to have a funeral? David knew this. David said when his son had died, who knows, God might have been merciful and heard me. He can't come to me, but I can go to Him. Amen. He had the assurance in his heart where his son was at. He understood that the death hanging over everybody's head is because of the nature of Adam. And when you say, if that be the case, nothing can happen when I get to age accountability. Yeah, that's what the trouble is. That nature will begin to manifest itself when you get of age. It will. It'll have a fit. It'll say things, do things it ought not to do. Satan has a field day with us a lot of times until the Spirit of God comes in. That's when unsaved people don't even know what's going on. We're not like pagans who are saved. But we're not arrived yet either. We still have a lot of growing to do. Man alive, I used to think when I got saved 4 or 5 years, I'd have it all. Man alive, I've been saved 49 years, and I'm still a baby in Christ almost. There's just too much to learn about Him. In life, we expect what it's like to live without God. We experience what it's like to live without God in a sinful nature. So the question is, and I close this, think with me. Do we deserve to suffer? Secular world say no. If you're a child of God, you say yes. Yes. God is not doing any more than what He's told us about. When you think of it, one deserves much more than what we get. When we do not deserve, we do not deserve to live, but thanks be unto God, He loves us. There's not a thing that anyone here, including myself, has done worthy to live another day. But God loves us. And He allows us. And He works with us and works in us. He loves us so much that He gives us days after day. Every day is a new day. We see bad news from time to time. In Genesis chapter 5, a whole chapter is a death chapter. Son's son lived and he died. Son's son lived and he died. Son's son, he died, he died, he died, he died, he died. And so it's been going on after Adam's sin and until our particular day today. Please don't understand this, ladies and gentlemen. Tidal waves kills thousands in a tsunami just a few years ago. Tidal waves kills thousands. And there's many persons have said, boy, I'm glad I won't there. I'm so glad I won't there, because the tidal waves don't pick certain ones unless God would be in it. And God sometimes can, but you'll find most die in things like that, especially like happened to those people. We call these people innocent. Don't misunderstand this. None of us are innocent. The world may say that, but God doesn't say that. None of us are innocent. Romans 3:23, all sin comes short of the glory of God. Death is not a matter of why. Death is not a matter of if. Death is a matter of when. But wait, our day is coming. Our day is coming. We will die until Jesus comes. This is the effect of sin. But thank be unto God, death is not the end for the believer. That's what makes the difference why we're here in this life. God is righteous. He's a righteous God who had to judge sin. And He judges man's will. He gave the first sacrifice in Genesis chapter 3. God provided an animal. He performed the sacrifice for sinners that He loved. We have been saved. We believe God in His Word. When God commanded, if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart, God raised Him from the dead. We have done that if we're born again. And therefore, God has promised us that even though the flesh is going to go back to the dust, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's how much He loves this world. And by the way, we're not so special that He left some out. It's for the whole world. The only difference is we have believed God when they played with it. God is a righteous God. He had to judge sin because He's righteous. God did the unthinkable. He stepped into history to be one of us, to be our substitute on the cross. We do not deserve to exist. There's not a one of us in here deserve to exist today or tomorrow. What have you done to deserve to exist? What have I done? Not one thing. Only by God's grace and mercy do we see another day. If Satan had his way, we'd all be dead to start with. Name in the name of Christ. We don't deserve to exist. But hear me. He allows us to exist because He loves us. And He provided a way to be able to come, that we could come to Him. In John 3:18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. In Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not Mahama. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the past, they died. And so are we going to die. Hebrews 9:27, one of the man wants to die. Notice this, not in between there and the final voting place. One of the man wants to die. After this, the death, the judgment. That's what God says. Knowing this, now is our time to repent and trust Christ as human beings. Today is the day of salvation. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Now is the accepted time. I'm talking about the effect of sin. Christ dying was the unthinkable. You see who He was and who God is and what He did for man and what Adam did and threw us in this mess. Christ dying was the unthinkable. But 3 days later, He did the unimaginable. He rose from the dead. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Where sin doth abound now, grace did much more abound. Wherein sin increases and it personifies itself in these last days, grace is much more increase. So the effect of sin has put us in a mess. The effect of sin has put us in a curse. Well, God shouldn't punish me for something Adam did. He's not punishing you for something Adam did. When you see punished for sin, you're going to die because of what Adam did. But when he punishes you and me, he won't punish me. Hey, listen, I didn't ever take any fruit off a tree that God said not take. But I've done some things worse than that. So God's going to punish because of sins. S-I-N-S, which is a product of the sin nature. And when that happens, ladies and gentlemen, unless the blood of Christ has washed them clean. And by the way, it can. It can wash your sins away. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the blood that makes it. Come on, you know it. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The effect of sin has put us in a mess. It's put us under a curse. But I've got good news for you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has made a way out from under the curse. And it's yours if you want it. To the Whale Radio in just a moment. It's theirs if they want it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's so serious. You know, when you read verses like this, God begins to reveal to them. Someone said, well, they don't say that to me. Read it again. Read it again. And if you're not saved, you can't understand it, get with someone who is saved so they can explain it to you. You know, I could have never done it, took algebra and geometry and trigonometry years ago if I didn't have a teacher. I could never learn that by myself. You could. I'm looking and tell you could, but I could never do that. I could never do that. I had to have a teacher. An unsaved person needs someone to guide them. And the Holy Spirit will use us to do that. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for these people listening. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God to read. Holy Spirit, I've tried my best to set forth something that's hard. You will have to take this further. I cannot make a person believe a thing. Lord, the only thing I have is words. And then Satan has had more experience than I have to bring deceit and frustration to hearts who are trying to analyze and rationalize God's Word versus what they've already have experienced in life. And I know that. So we need your help. I claim the promise. You said that your Word will not return unto you void. It accomplished where you sent it. And Father, I think tonight I give a clear-cut biblical answer of why we die. When we go to win someone to the Lord, knock on the door, the first thing they say, well, I didn't do what Adam did. Why should I have to suffer because of what he did? Dear Father, the only thing they'll do is die because of what Adam did, because that brought a curse to the human race. The suffering in hell will be according to their works, what they've done since they've come into this world with that nature, which will lead them, the nature Satan uses, to blaspheme and use against God until they draw their last breath. But God, I'm so glad that though I have to warn people about what death is and how it came about, I can say we may be in a mess because of Adam, our great-great-granddad back yonder years ago. But thank God for the second, last man, Adam. The last Adam, Jesus Christ. He made it possible to remove the curse. Oh, thank you so much for that. Dear God, as I preach a message like this, I'm so glad I can say, listen, people, God has removed the curse. Jesus died as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. John declared that right before we baptized him in the first chapter of John. I'm glad I can do the same. And say every sin that is produced in sins in this body can be forgiven and washed away. Though the sin nature will still take this body back to the dust because of Adam. You're a wonderful God, Lord. Got a wonderful message. Please have our church get it out in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.